This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. In Iraq today, in the Fallujah area west of Baghdad, a convoy for a top U.S. military commander, General John Abizaid, pulled into a secure compound moments before several explosions and a gun battle erupted outside. There are no reported injuries. Here in the U.S., the daily dangers in Iraq and Afghanistan have led the Army to make changes in how it trains its soldiers. Changes for the first time in decades. Day to Day's Madeline Brand reports from Fort Irwin in the California desert.
Big R06, over.
Bighorn, vulture.
Outside our Humvee, there's nothing but gravelly sand, olive-colored shrubs, and large black crows. At 1,000 square miles, Fort Irwin is the largest military training ground in the world. We're on our way to a pretend battle, what's known as a war game, but the goal is serious. It's to train soldiers to fight in the new and difficult circumstances they're facing, from the Tora Bora Caves to the Sunni Triangle. Wind whips the sand through the Humvee as we finally arrive at the town of Eastgate.
Yeah, 85s now.
Eastgate is one of about a half dozen fake villages the Army has constructed out of shipping containers to simulate villages in Iraq or Afghanistan, or in this case, North Korea. North Korea, because many of the soldiers training here today expect to be shipped there next.
My full name is Gordon D. Harrington. I am a captain. I'm portraying the town mayor and the civilians. This town is basically in kind of like a DMZ 38th parallel, caught in between two borders.
He points to a man standing on top of a tank, the leader of the insurgents.
We're occupied. We have the United States Army coming in here trying to force him out.
So you're welcoming the Americans?
Oh, yes. Yes, I definitely want these guys out, and I want the Americans to come in. However hesitant I might be, because we have gotten word of what has happened in Langford Wells. When the Americans took it over, they happened to shoot the mayor and 14 other innocent civilians. So at this moment in time, I really want the Americans here to get him out, but I'm kind of worried about what the Americans are going to do once they get here.
And he has good reason, as we'll find out later. Captain Harrington is one of some 5,000 soldiers who are stationed at Fort Irwin. Their job is to be the enemy. 10 times a year, soldiers from other parts of the country come here to train. Only recently, for the last year and a half, have they waged guerrilla wars, too. Lieutenant General John Vines is observing today's battle.
This is exactly what we ought to be doing.
Vines recently returned from Afghanistan, where he was commander of the coalition forces there.
Quite frankly, this training center for years replicated what we might face if we fought the Russians. And it's only been relatively recently that we've got into the contemporary operational environment with, simultaneously, a commander, while he's worried about dealing with refugees and displaced persons and people who are saying, we don't have any water, we don't have any food, he's having to fight tanks. And that is exactly what they're facing in Iraq today. And it's some of the same things that were faced in Afghanistan.
The military has been criticized for not being prepared for post-war Iraq after a decade fighting in places like Bosnia, Kosovo, and Somalia. But Colonel Ed Flynn, the chief of staff at Fort Irwin, says it's impossible to train for every circumstance.
Division commanders that were going to Iraq, they had to manage risk. You've got so much time. There's so many things to do. What are the things that you really need to focus on so that you can be successful, be effective, and save the most lives you can of the soldiers assigned you? You train them how to deal with the most lethal situation.
And the most lethal situation leading up to the war a year ago was an Iraqi military armed, as everyone then thought, with chemical weapons.
So now we're into a different phase. What we see now is what we're seeing on the news every day, and we are trying to create, to the best of our ability, those conditions so that those soldiers get an experience before they go into that foreign country.
The soldiers out in the desert here are, in real life, part of the 3rd Infantry Division, the division that was the first to take Baghdad. They've been back in the U.S. since July, and this is their first training mission since then. It's not going smoothly. It's been hours since they were to have taken the town.
Roger. That's where they're going to make their push, is over at the weather station.
There are no soldiers on the horizon, but all of a sudden, a tank that the insurgents had positioned in the center of town is hit. We know that not because it actually blows up, but because a light goes off on the tank, indicating an American attack from a plane above. The tank is destroyed, but so is everything and everyone else nearby.
What happened to you?
GBU, about a 2,000-pound bomb.
That's the mayor, the man who was welcoming the Americans earlier.
I was standing on top of this building here, and I believe the casualties were about 32 civilian KIA, so the handoff wasn't wasn't very sympathetic to our side.
The remaining townspeople are frightened and unsure now what to make of the incoming Americans. The insurgents have rounded them up and are using them as human shields in front of the town's border.
I think right now the plan is they're going to execute one person to try and turn them away. And then if not, they'll probably execute this whole crowd.
And who are you? What is your role?
I'm the deputy mayor.
So now you're the mayor?
Yeah, now I'm the mayor by default.
How do you feel about that?
I'd rather the mayor was alive than I could go read or something, but, you know.
It turns out that he has plenty of time to do that. Hours go by with no action. So the civilians and the insurgents wander off to get some lunch or watch TV inside a warm shipping container. War, apparently, is a lot of waiting around. Finally, with 30 minutes left in the day, a Bradley armored vehicle crashes through one of the barbed wire fences, and the battle for Eastgate begins. A couple of soldiers run out of the back of the Bradley to track down insurgent snipers barricaded in the buildings. They get a couple, then, on what's known as a cordon in search, soldiers enter a house, guns drawn, hoping to ferret out the enemy. The enemy wasn't in the house. They'd placed a booby trap at the door, just like the improvised explosive devices being used in Iraq right now. The soldiers tripped it, and the house blew up, killing them and some civilians who were hiding behind it.
Man, I didn't see that wire.
I know, dude. But I opened the door. Oh, I did.
Yeah, you did. Should have checked my booby trap.
Hey, we did our best.
And so in less than an hour, the battle for Eastgate is over. Most of the insurgents are killed, but so are most of the townspeople. A few Americans are killed, too. Soldier Michael Dwayne Hansen survived. In real life, he also survived the battle for Baghdad. He says today's fight wasn't much like what he saw in Iraq.
Say, 25% accurate.
25?
Yeah, at 100, yeah.
Why is that?
I mean, if there's any enemy in the city, there's pretty much not going to be any civilians around. So, I mean, the firefight would be pretty much between, you know, us and them. And you got to worry about friendlies here.
Well, do you think it'll be useful for you when you get redeployed back to Iraq or wherever you go?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. It will be.
Even though you say it's only 25% like it is in Iraq.
Yeah, but, I mean, the deal is to make it harder than it actually is. That's the thing. To make it harder than reality is. Okay, I got to go.
Bye.
Okay.
Cold, dirty, and tired, he and the other soldiers pile into a Bradley and head off into the desert to prepare for tomorrow. They'll fight another battle in another town full of insurgents. After 3 weeks here in the Mojave Desert, they'll improve and be better prepared for guerrilla warfare. But is this how we're going to win in Iraq, with better training for the soldiers on the ground? Michael Vickers isn't so sure. Vickers is a former Special Forces officer, and he's now with the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments in Washington.
So it's one thing to train sort of frontline soldiers to be alert to snipers and improvised explosive devices and roadside bombs and all that sort of thing. It's another to devise an effective strategy to win over the population. And right now we're kind of making it up as we go.
And here at Fort Irwin in California, the soldiers have no time to practice the subtleties of winning hearts and minds. The best they can hope for, not killing the civilians and not getting killed themselves. That is difficult enough. For Day to Day, I'm Madeline Brand.
Madeline's report was produced by Catherine Fox. This is Day to Day from NPR News.